If you have your Bibles today, would you turn with me to the book of John, chapter 2? And Lord willing, we're going to try and complete a message that the Lord had me bring the first half about 3 weeks ago. And the gist of the message that I feel the Lord's laid on my heart hasn't changed that much, but I did want to complete it. I felt it was something the Lord wanted me to finish up on. So turn to John, chapter 2. And we're going to begin reading at verse 13. John chapter 2, verse 13. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? John chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then he answered the Jews, and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning, continuing on the subject of the heart of worship. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the wonderful, sweet presence of the Holy Spirit that we've felt. Lord, we need that so. Were this service to end right now, Lord, we have already been immensely blessed, uplifted, strengthened, and encouraged in ways that we don't even know. That's how powerful being in your presence is. But Lord, we now come to this part to deliver your word, and Lord, it can't be done through human means. Lord, I know my inability and my incapability, and I asked you to anoint me this morning to be your mouthpiece to bless your people, Lord. I'm seeking your honor, Lord Jesus, not my own. I'm seeking to be a blessing to your people today, Lord. You went to the cross for us, Lord Jesus. And Heavenly Father, I need divine enablement today. And I pray you'll help us to preach your word in such a way that it will come alive and it would inspire our hearts, Lord Jesus, to know that whatever happens in this life, as the great Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Hopefully you'll recall some of this. I want to do a little background from a couple of weeks ago. Actually, 3 weeks ago, when I preached from the same text, Jesus has just performed his first miracle at the wedding of Cana in Galilee, where he turned the water into wine. And he now goes up to Jerusalem, which is they're holding the Passover feast, but the Bible calls it a feast of the Jews. Although this feast had been instituted by God himself in the Old Testament, as man is prone to do, he had taken what God had given and turned it into a man-made work now. Hence the Bible, as the Holy Spirit moved on John to write this, he calls it a feast of the Jews. It's no longer a feast of God. And we see that when Jesus comes to the temple, that was a type on earth of who he was and what his ministry and sacrifice on the cross would represent. He sees how far that the Jewish leaders have taken temple worship from what God had originally intended it to be. So much so that now there are degrees of separation between the Holy of Holies and the outer court of the temple. Not everybody can get in to worship God. They have four courts, four walls, if you will, separating the people from true worship. There's the court of the Jews, the court of the women, the court of the Gentiles. And then there is, I missed a court there somewhere. I'm sorry, there's four of them. Separating anyone who would want to worship. There was the priests. I'm sorry, the court of the priests was first, the court of the Jews, the court of the Gentiles, and then the court of women, then the court of the Gentiles. It's not all that terribly important. The point I'm trying to make is the amount of separation that man had placed between God and man. That's what religion always does. Religion always separates man from God. And when Jesus not only saw the separation where man could not get to God due to the intervention of religion, he sees how the people that want to get close to God are being made merchandise out of, as these sellers of the sacrificial animals have set up shop in the temple. And they're charging exorbitant rates, even for the poor people who God made provision for even the poor people to be able to bring a dove. And the price of these doves, they had raised the price so far out of sight, even rich people could hardly afford them. And then the money changers, the people had to, coming from all over the world to celebrate the Passover feast. Coming from all over the world, they had to exchange their money. And they set up the money changers' tables in this temple. And they were charging exorbitant rates of exchange for the money from the world into the Jewish economy. It was a terrible sight. But when the Lord saw it, it angered him. It angered him with an anger that we read nowhere else in the Bible where the Lord was this angry. You know, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. People say, well, Jesus got mad. Absolutely, he got mad, but it was a righteous anger. And I want you to see today, as we pick up this message now, what was it that angered him so? First, it was the fact that they had turned the worship of God into a money-making event. Now, how much is that in today's modern church? They had made merchandise of the worship of God. They had made merchandise of the people, exploiting God's people for their own selfish purposes. And the worship of God had fallen totally to the background. That angered Jesus. But what angered him more was that when he got to that temple, he saw that there were poor, fallen people that wanted to worship God. But yet man had come in and instituted a system of his own device that kept people from getting to God. That's what makes false doctrine so vile. And that it always injects the religion of man and will further separate man from God. I'll never forget when I first received the message of the cross. I'd been raised in church. I could tell you all about the cross, or so I thought. But I didn't understand faith. I didn't understand the power of faith in that cross, because religion had come in and told me I had to do all these other things. I had to follow some man-made set of practical commitments, and then I'd be right with the Lord. And it kept me working, knowing in my heart I wasn't meeting those commitments. Made me feel terrible most of my Christian experience. But when Brother Lauren Larson said the words, if your faith is in Christ and what he did at the cross, you are totally justified before a holy God. Glory to God. Glory to God. It hit me like a spiritual cyclone. And I saw it. I was instantly liberated from all that religious junk as the Holy Spirit instantly and marvelously tore down all the junk that was between me and God. And it hit me for the first time in my Christian life. Not only did I know I was saved, but I knew he was happy with me, and I didn't have to perform before him to make him happy with me. Hallelujah! Glory to God! That's the greatest truth that a person can get. But yet religion will always build walls of separation between man and God, making it hard, making it impossible for man to get to God. And I want to say this. Here's what stymied me so when I learned the message of the cross and began to preach it. I was just so naive. I thought, this is what every Christian wants. They want to feel this liberation. They want to feel this peace. They want to feel this glory of being justified before God on the basis of faith alone. Knowing that He's happy with us just because we've put our faith in Christ and what Christ did at the cross. What a beautiful, beautiful thing that was to me. And I thought, this is what every believer wants. This is what everybody who follows Jesus wants. And if you're following Jesus, it is what you want. But if you're following religion, it's the last thing in the world you want. And I saw that happen. Because when you start to knock down religious walls, if you're one of the ones that are a benefactor of religion, you don't want to see that system knocked down. But this day in the temple, that's exactly what Jesus was doing. He became angry when he saw what angered him more than anything else was that he saw that there were people who wanted to get to God and couldn't do it. That's what angers him so today. I know the Lord Jesus Christ, his wrath burns hot against those who teach there's another way, who try to add something to his finished work on the cross. It still angers him. You know, God help us. I pray before I preach. And I'm like, Lord, I don't want to sound like some kind of endless diatribe all the time on the evils of TBN, but my Lord, there's such an example of what I'm trying to bring forth today. I can't watch it very long anymore. That's probably why y'all don't hear a whole lot about it anymore, because I can't really stand to watch it anymore. But in any event, I flicked across the dials this week, and there they were. Had this guy dressed like Jesus on there. He plays Jesus in their play down there, that little show they put on down there in Florida. I don't know what they call it, Wally Faith World or something, I don't know. What's it called? Holy Land Experience, yeah. I'm not denigrating putting on a play, but I want to tell you something. The way they had this guy acting, they didn't say it, but they were presenting the fact, this is the man. Oh, he was acting like Jesus, even to the point of the way he would stand, sometimes with hands out. And then Jan announced, oh, we have another Jesus over there now that's baptizing. Another, I thought, boy, how apropos, another Jesus over there baptizing. Put it on a show. I'm going to tell you something, church. When the Bible said, when Jesus said, that in the last times, people would be saying, lo, Christ is here, lo, Christ is there, TBN's preparing people for that with this kind of junk. Dressing people up like Jesus and having them perform functions in the church as if to say being dressed like Jesus makes it more spiritual. Jesus is out there, another Jesus is out there baptizing. And I want to tell you, that's separating people from God. It's really idolatry in its purest form when you take it to that level. It really is. It's nothing but idolatry. And that separates people from getting to God. Jesus wants people to be able to get to Him. It angers Him when man erects anything in the way of preventing people or leading people away from Him. That's what angered Him so this day in the temple. And here's the gist of the message now that I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to put forth this morning. Get ready, church. He's cleansing the temple again right now. He's sending forth the message of the cross all over this world so that people that really want to get to God, they're going to find the way to get to God. It's going to be through Jesus and what He did at the cross. They're going to see in this last day, just before He returns, a worldwide move of the Holy Ghost to open up doors and avenues to get to Jesus. Because people have been taught so wrong on how to get to him. The walls have been erected, just like in this day in the temple. The walls are there now. And there's men and women out there dying. And the church that should be preaching Christ is preaching everything but Christ. Let me be more specific. The church that should be preaching Christ and Him crucified is preaching everything but that as a way of deliverance, as a way of victory. And people are out there with a burning hunger in their hearts. They want to be right with God. And God, the Holy Ghost, in this last day is sending a worldwide movement of the truth to those who want to get to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to rejoice in this church. I know you don't have the greatest preaching in the world, but you got the greatest message in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know how to get to God. I found it somewhat humorous this morning. So we're back there praying. They have a book laying back there. Somebody does. It says on it, church manual. Church, what does it say, Heather? Church manual. Heather jokingly said, Pastor, are you going to read this? Tell us how to have church. Church manual. Now think of that. That's religion. That's religion. Oh, I wish I hadn't read it, but I did. I stumble across all this stuff. It seems like it's attracted to me, you know? And I just want to, I laugh and cry simultaneously sometimes. There's this guy in St. Louis, Missouri. He's with the denomination I was formerly in. Has one of the biggest churches in the Church of God. You know what he's doing? He's selling a packet now. Selling a little packet. Got a book, all kind of materials. Calls himself the Church Trainer. The church trainer. Going to teach you how to have church. And I know him. I know the guy. I've met him several times. He's a very intelligent young man. Probably one of the brightest minds in the Church of God. And spiritually one of the most ignorant. Church trainer. And when Heather said that, it made me think. We've got our manual. Right here it is. Having church ain't rocket science. If you preach Christ and Him crucified, and you make Jesus the center of your church, you make Christ and Him crucified the center of your worship, you teach Christ and Him crucified in every Sunday school class, when that preacher gets behind the pulpit, he preaches Christ and Him crucified, you'll have church! You'll have the power of God! And a man-made program cannot produce that. It's pride and it's ego, and man wants to think, I know how to do it. Look how big my church is. I don't care how big your church is. It's a mausoleum without the Holy Ghost in it. And the Holy Ghost will only flow when Christ and Him crucified is preached. Yeah, you can produce a nice looking crowd if you want to, but only the Holy Ghost can produce saints. You can produce a lot of programs if you want to, but only the Holy Ghost can produce change. You can't train people how to do it. It has to be a work of God. And I chuckled when I read it, the church trainer. And that book back there, the church manual, made me think, oh, he's got elaborate materials. I couldn't help but read some of them. Very well written, very scholarly in a worldly sense. And he's going to show you how to take up offering right. Oh, yeah. He's going to show you how your singers ought to sing when they're on the stage, or how they ought to stand when they're on the stage. You know, how to give a multimedia production of your service. And I thought, God help him. God help him. Beautiful facility they're in. I wouldn't drive across the street to see it. I can tune in my TV and watch MTV and get the same thing if I wanted that. I want the power of God. Jesus wants people that want to get to Him to be able to do it. And you can't get to God outside of the cross. There's no way for man to do it. When the Bible tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace in the book of Hebrews, you must understand the context of what it's telling us. When man could not even approach God in the Old Testament except once a year, when the high priest would walk in to offer up the blood of a spotless lamb on the Holy of Holies, that was the closest man could come. But let me take you to the top of Golgotha at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The Holy Spirit whispers to the Son of God, who has suffered beyond anyone's comprehension. And he tells him, "You've done it. The victory's been won." He says, "Say the words now." And a cry goes forth from the Son of God's lips. "It is finished. It is finished." And at that same moment in time, at exactly that moment in time, that curtain that hung in the Holy of Holies that was some 3 feet thick and about 40, 50 feet high, some say as high as 60, the Bible says it took, or 4 yoke of oxen on each side of it, couldn't pull it apart. And it was ripped in two straight down the middle from top to bottom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What was being said? God was saying to mankind, through His finished work, through what He's done, you now have access to Me, and you can boldly and freely approach Me in His name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's what Jesus wants. But you know, here it is. Not everybody wants to get close to God. Not everybody wants Jesus that's sitting in church pews. And I will dare say that Jesus would be welcome in very few churches in the United States of America today, were He to physically come and walk in. They might think He was just a TBN masquerade. Most wouldn't know Him. And I know that might rock your sensibilities and you think, well, how could that be? The Pharisees and scribes didn't know Him. And they had to memorize the first 5 books of the Bible that spoke of nothing but about Him. And they missed Him altogether when He was on earth and denied His Messiahship. Think of that. I don't believe He would be welcome in most churches. Why? He would do just what He did here. He would cleanse their temple. He would stand and tell them, "Get this word of faith garbage out of My house. Get your prosperity gospel out of My house. Get your foolish man-made training tactics out of My house." Yeah. There'd be a lot of preachers out of a job, I believe, if Jesus still walked the earth today. Because He'd do just what He did here. But here's the gist of what the Holy Spirit's been telling me to put across. It's happening right now. Spiritually, the same thing is happening all over the world. As the truth of Christ and what He did on the cross is being declared, and how faith in that is the only thing that can make you right with God. Let me tell you, speaking in tongues don't make you right with God. Taking communion don't make you right with God. Joining a church don't make you right with God. Doing any kind of religious exercise does not make you right with God. It's only by faith in the shed blood of the Son of God. Yes, I believe in communion. Yes, I believe in speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance and the mighty baptism in the Holy Ghost. Yes, I believe in all of it. But none of those things make us right before a holy God. Only faith in His shed blood. And man has come in and built all of these walls. Just today, the same thing is going on as it was in Jesus' day. And let me show you how badly they missed Him. After Jesus had overturned the money changers' tables and drove them that sold out of the temple, what was He doing? He was clearing a path. Jesus was clearing a path for those who really wanted to get right with God. He's doing that again today through the preaching of the cross. The Holy Ghost is clearing a path one more time for people to be able to get to God. But naturally, the Pharisees and scribes, and those who were the benefactors of all this religious work, They didn't like what Jesus did. Hence, I tell you, he wouldn't be welcome in a lot of churches today, because he would stop violently so the same thing these guys were doing. And he wouldn't be real popular. And they ask him, by what authority do you do this? Who do you think you are to stand and tell us how to have church? I thought about that as I was preparing this. Somebody may look upon me and my ministry and this little body of people and think, oh, well, who do you think you are, little pastor of 30 people? I ain't nobody. But I know who is. And he's the one I preach. And he's the reason for the existence of this church. When we come together, that's why you're going to hear about Christ, him crucified, every Sunday. As long as I'm pastor, we need to be reminded of it. We need to be taught it. The cross cannot be overpreached. It's impossible to do. You can overpreach speaking in tongues. You can overpreach taking communion. You can overpreach a lot of things, but you cannot overpreach the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But how far away were this bunch from him? They say, who do you think you are? You're the carpenter from down the street. You're Joseph's son. We watched you hammer nails your whole life. And for you to stand and tell us, religious experts, that we don't know what we're doing? Jesus said, all right, I'll give you a sign. And this proves how devoid they were of any spirituality. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it back up. And they thought he was talking about that beautiful edifice that was standing in front of them. They said, well, it took us 46 years to build this, and you think you can knock it down in 3 days and raise it up? But the Bible says he wasn't speaking of that temple. He was speaking of the temple of his body. He was speaking of his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. And thank God. Thank God that temple, it was destroyed for a little bit, the temple of his body. But 3 days later, God raised it up in power and in glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To prove that he was who he said he was. In closing, don't always be on guard for man to put religion between you and God. Let me tell you, let me close this way. It angers him still, just like it did here, when man attempts to add something to his finished work on the cross. Because there, at the cross alone, is where we're totally justified, glorified, and sanctified. At the cross. Nothing more being added to it. I'm going to throw out some pet doctrines now, and I pray I don't make anybody mad, but if I do, I do. Faith alone in what he did at the cross. It's not Jesus crucified and speaking in tongues. I believe in that. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I know it's real. But my speaking in tongues does not gain me 1 second of purity before God. It's proof that that purity has already been provided. Me taking communion does not buy me any favor at all before a holy God. Me taking communion is just proof of the fact that I'm admitting publicly where my faith is and what he did at the cross. And when you, and there's where mankind and Satan uses religion in such a deviously intelligent way, because he knows if he separates you from the cross, you're defeated. I don't care if you know this Bible from cover to cover, word for word, and can quote every scripture of it. If your faith is in the wrong place, it's to no avail. It's to no avail. Again, let me remind you, these scribes and Pharisees and their rabbinical schools, by the time they were 12 years old, this fact has always amazed me, by the time they were 12 years old, they had to have the first 5 books of the Bible memorized word for word. That's what they were schooled in. And it did them no good at all when they stood in the very presence of the Son of God. Why? Religion. Religion. And that's why I want our church so badly. And I pray and ask God for this almost every day. Lord, whatever you do with us, just make sure that we keep our faith in Jesus and what he did for us at the cross. And when people come to us, we would not ever dare offer them anything but that as their hope and their help. Christ and him crucified. It can't be overpreached. It can't be overtaught. And it is the message that pleases God. It's the only message that pleases God. What Jesus did on that cross. And if anything else is preached as a means of sanctification, glorification, or justification before a holy God, you're building a religious wall. And the Lord's anger burns hot against that. Just like it did in this day. That was the crux of his anger. Church, you don't know how privileged we are that the Holy Ghost has selected us. And it's been because I believe you're in this church because you've got a heart for truth. That's why you're here. Because there's a million other churches you could be at this morning preaching. And if you don't like the cross, if you didn't like the cross, well, my Lord, you can find a church on every corner that'll preach what you're looking for. You know, if you're wanting to go to the First Church of Bicycles, there's some nut out there, you know, who's got you riding bicycles to get right before God, you know. Or motorcycles or whatever. The list could be endless. But where there's a hunger for truth, God's going to knock down all the walls. He'll send the Holy Ghost to do it. If that person's hungry for truth, he'll do whatever it takes to get that truth to them. And that's why I'm so glad this morning that we know what we know. We're not the fanciest church in town. We never will be. Or we're probably not going to be the most elaborate of in church productions. I don't care. But you know, all that matters to me is that we feel what we felt this morning during praise and worship. Where the Holy Ghost is falling like rain in here in his sweet spirit. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, how precious that is. Don't ever take that lightly. Don't ever take it for granted. It's easy to do, I believe, when we become accustomed to it. But oh, never lose the glory. Never lose the awe. When the Holy Ghost is moving and you know it's the Holy Ghost. And we don't always have to run aisles and jump pews. No. He does his greatest work on the inside of us at times like that. My Lord, when you're sitting in his presence, change is going on. He's at work. He's at work. And you, how many times has it been that I've noticed? Well, why did that change? I didn't even pray about that. Or I mean, I may have thought about it, but I didn't formally pray about this or that, or the Lord helping me here or there. That's why we come to church as a corporate body, to allow the Holy Ghost of God to work on us through the preaching of the Word, through the praising of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, when the Holy Ghost is there, great things are going on. You may not even feel it. We think we have to feel goosebumps and a big shout of praise all the time, or God ain't doing nothing. Let me tell you, that's the power of God's Holy Spirit. If he's in the building, there's something good going on in the hearts and lives of everybody who's there. Even sinners, God loves them. He's working on them even. Hallelujah. And the Lord wants to raise up churches like that. And wherever the Lord takes us to, he's gotten me so over needing a big church, or, yeah, I'd like to see us grow. I'd like to see a lot of people get saved. But I've got to leave that to the Lord. We've got to leave that to the Lord. Our job is to remain faithful to him. Faithfully preach the truth of his word. Keep our faith where it needs to be. And allow the Holy Spirit to work on us where God has us planted. Amen. And that's all I want. And thank God we've got that. We've got that. The Holy Spirit moves. And there's no separation between us and God. I want you to think about that now. But I need you to know and remind you why there is no separation between us and God. Because our faith is only in his shed blood. I don't know what your background is this morning, where you've come from. Religion may have infected your soul, and you've believed, I've got to do this, this, and this, and I've got to be acting that certain way and that certain way. You're bound by religion. It's one of the most evil things going on. It's more evil than heroin. It's more evil than any drug or alcohol, religion is, because what it does to the human soul and spirit. But if you put your faith exclusively in Christ and what he did at the cross, there is no barrier between you and God. You see, we cannot perform to God's standard. None of us. I don't care if you have all 9 gifts of the Spirit, all 5 ministry gifts working in your life. Great, wonderful. Doesn't buy you 1 second of righteousness before God. Those things are operating in your life because you are righteous before God. Not to get a right standing with him. Only faith in the shed blood of Christ on the cross makes man right with God. If anything is attempted to add to that or to detract from that truth, you've gone into religion, the Holy Spirit is grieved, and God is angry. I want you to think about what I just said as we close. God is angry at that. That's what angered Jesus so this day in the temple. The walls. These were literal walls in Jesus' days, but they were spiritual walls also. I'll never forget when President Ronald Reagan stood at the Berlin Wall, which for centuries had stood as that separation between East and West Germany, with East Germany claiming they had to build it to hold the people in, which was a lie. They built it to, because so many people from the East wanted to come to the West. That was a lie. They built it because they wouldn't have had a nation there. Everybody would have fled to the West. That's why it was built. But Reagan looked at it as he was giving his speech that day, and he spoke to Mikhail Gorbachev, the premier of the Soviet Union then, and he said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And it put such political pressure on him, but a few months later, Gorbachev had to knock down that Berlin Wall. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, or Ephesians chapter 2, that Christ hath broken down the inner wall of partition. Hallelujah. What does that mean? That means spiritually it was referring to these walls that had been erected in the temple, that Jesus broke them all down when he died on the cross. There is no separation now between man and God if faith is placed in what he did at the cross. Hallelujah. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise this morning? Glory to God. Would you stand? Would you stand? Hallelujah. Praise God. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today. And Lord, I thank you for the wonderful presence of your Spirit. Jesus, I thank you that you have provided us with everything we're ever going to need through your vicarious, victorious sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Lord Jesus, I pray that if there is religion in any heart today, that you'll deliver that person from it. I sense that there are hungry hearts, Lord, that have been wanting to get to you, but yet they've been bound by the walls of religion. Somebody's told them they needed to speak in tongues, they needed to take communion, they needed to join a church, they needed to do this or that. And all of that is just build a wall between them and you, Lord. But today I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to open their eyes to see. I can come straight to him by faith, trusting completely in what he did for me on the cross, and God will be pleased with me on that basis alone. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you. And as far as I know, everyone in this building this morning is right with God. And I will not embarrass you. I promise you that. And I'm not trying to get you to admit anything to me. But this is what the Holy Spirit is telling me right now. Are you here today? And religion's in your heart. And I'm not even saying you're sinning. I'm speaking to people that are saved. You've never felt comfortable in your salvation. You've never felt totally free in your salvation, although you know you're saved. And it's been because somebody has told you you needed to do something outside of faith in Christ and what he did at the cross. You needed to do something yourself. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's religion. Jesus hates religion because it separates hungry men and women who are hungry for him. It separates them from him. I feel the Holy Spirit speaking in my heart right now. This is blunt, but this is how I believe he's leading me to say it. Are you ready to forsake all religion and walk into a joy in Jesus Christ and a peace in Jesus Christ that you've never known before, even though you know you're saved? Are you ready for that? Forsake your religion this morning. Look only to Jesus. Reaffirm your faith and confess to him, Jesus, I'm sorry, I've trusted in what you did for me at the cross and speaking in tongues. I'm sorry, Jesus, I trusted in what you did for me at the cross and water baptism. I'm sorry, Jesus, I trusted in what you did for me at the cross and joining a church or shaking a preacher's hand, or you could put a myriad of things in there. The Lord wants to take you into a newness and depth of life today in him that you've never known before. And he'll do the work. You don't even have to try to go there. But he does require that you place your faith only in what he did for you at the cross. With heads bowed and eyes closed, now I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands. If that's you, all you've got to do is tell him right now, Lord, I forsake all religion. I put my faith only in what you did for me at the cross. And I thank you that what you did is totally sufficient to make me right. I don't have to work to earn your favor. I don't have to perform to earn your favor. I have it based upon the sacrifice of your son on the cross. You don't have to say those exact words, but you know the meaning behind them. Just pray to him right now, if that's you. I'm going to wait just a moment, and I'm going to pray for you, because I believe there's folks praying that prayer right now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, just as you opened my eyes one day, and the eyes of many of us here today, to the glorious, liberating truth that our being made right before you is not based on our performance or nor our behavior. It's based upon our faith. And the object of that faith being your shed blood, Lord Jesus. That alone. That alone. Nothing needs added to it. That alone. Your precious shed sinless blood for us. Open their eyes to that truth today, Lord. Give them revelation. I'm praying for revelation knowledge to come to those today who need delivered from religion. And Lord, I sense there's a mighty move of the Holy Ghost going on in hearts and lives right now, and I praise you for that. I believe revelation is being given this morning. And Lord, I believe that's the whole reason you had me preach this message on the heart of worship. Jesus, you are the heart of worship. You are the heart of worship, Lord Jesus. No one else, nothing else. And Lord, it's mere religion. It's nothing but religion, which you despise, if we worship any other thing. The Holy Spirit won't flow. He can't be allowed to move as he desires. And I praise you and thank you, Lord Jesus, for the work I know you've done in us today. I'm going to ask everybody who will. Now, would you come and present yourselves at the altar of the Lord? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Late last night and early this morning, as I was praying for the service, and you know, you can preach a message and the Holy Spirit will give you a totally different way that he wants the altar call done. Or a totally different issue he wants to deal with at the altar call. And such as I feel is today. Some of you have been fighting impossible situations. You think it's impossible. And the Lord told me last night before I went to sleep and early this morning when I was up praying for the service. He said, go tell my people my words. Nothing is impossible for me. Nothing is impossible for me. Oh, I feel that this morning. I feel a rush of the Holy Ghost over this altar as we say it. Nothing is impossible for me. Phil and Maritas, nothing is impossible for him. Nothing. Hallelujah. Others of you. Nothing is impossible for Him. And whatever you have need of today, that you feel and you know, God, you've got to do it. I know I'm speaking to a saved bunch that have their faith in the right place. But even when we have our faith in the right place sometimes, we still got this old fleshly human tabernacle that we got to overcome that's full of doubt. What do you think that man who had the little demon-possessed boy said, Lord, I do believe. That's the state of a lot of us. He's saying, I want to believe, Lord. He was in effect saying, help me believe more when he said, help thou my unbelief. But thank God Jesus said, if we had faith as a grain of mustard seed, we could say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And if we doubt not in our heart, we'll have whatsoever we say not. That wasn't a carte blanche to just start confessing a bunch of stuff down. Really, the reference and the text of that context of that scripture, Jesus was talking about sin. He was talking about sin, really. Because let me tell you, it's nothing for him to move a mountain. God made these mountains. You know what's hard to do? Because God can't get us to believe we're sinners enough to want to come to him and have that mustard seed of faith and say, Lord, get this mountain of sin out of my life. That's the context of what he was referring to. But he was also referring, it does have the meaning, that we can call on him in faith believing when we need him and we need help and he'll give it to us. Man, I feel faith this morning. I do. Maybe you don't, but I do. I'll believe for you this morning, okay? Because God's given it to me right now in his grace and mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Believe him this morning. Nothing is impossible for him. Oh, Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost in my soul this morning. I don't know what you're facing. It really don't matter. Nothing is impossible for him. He can bring families together. Hallelujah. He can heal these sick bodies. He can deal with that boss at work that's driving you crazy. I pray my employees ain't ever praying for me in that sense. Lord, our boss is so mean and stupid. I pray you'll help him. Well, the stupid part, but I pray they're never praying because I'm so mean to them. They need God to move on me. Whatever the situation, the Holy Spirit wants you to believe him today. Just believe him. That's all he's asking of you. You don't have to try and work it up. You don't have to perform something. He loves you. I don't care if it's financial, physical, emotional, material, familial, and any other kind of ill there might be. Or eel, whatever. He can do it. And he will help you. The Holy Spirit's pushing me hard on this morning. He will help you if you'll call on him. If you'll just believe him today. All things are possible to him that believeth. He knows our faith ain't perfect. But man, all we got to have is that little mustard seed. That little bit that says, okay, God, I'm going to believe it. You know what? The Holy Spirit will give you the faith the rest of the way. Let me say it better than that. He's got to give us any faith we got. It's got to come from him anyway. And I believe he's pouring it out all over this altar this morning. Faith. To believe him. For whatever. And as we close, that's how I want us to pray. I'm going to ask everybody, if you would you just lay your hand on the person next to you all over this. Just everybody lay a hand on somebody. Hallelujah. And as we dismiss in prayer today, I want you to first pray for that person to your left and right you've got your hand on, and then believe for you. Let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come today. And Lord, help our unbelief. Holy Ghost, give us faith today. Let the gift of faith flow into everyone around this altar this morning. And Lord, I pray for my sister today, for you to touch her in whatever way she needs and to minister to her need. And to everyone around this altar this morning, Lord, we're going to get answers to prayer today. They're coming just as sure as we're standing here. Help is coming right now. Divine intervention is taking place right now. And we believe you, Lord, for that which is impossible. For you are the God of the impossible. You moved away our mountain of sin, Lord, when we believed on you. And Lord, that was so easy for you to do as you washed us in your precious shed blood. And Lord, it's easy for you to do anything that we, your children, ask. And we importune you today, Lord Jesus Christ. We believe you now that we have received the help and the miracles we need. Lord, it's a miracle to us. It's not a miracle to you. You speak and it's done. You send your Holy Spirit and it's done. And in Jesus' name today, send the confirmation to every heart. Prayers have been heard. And you're at work right now doing the impossible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Man, I feel we touched the throne this morning, church. Again, I apologize for Wednesday night. Phil laughed at me as I sat frantically trying to get the phone tree to work from my cell phone. Chris would have got a big kick out of it if he had been here. I almost wish you were here. Here it is, 25 after 6, and we just found out we got an ice storm coming. It's going to be, and it was starting out there. That parking lot was a mess. A few of you pulled into it. I apologize, but I got it figured out now, I think. So, and I've instituted a new rule now. By 6 o'clock, we're making a call. If the bad weather's coming, you'll be getting it earlier. But I apologize to you for not doing that. But this Wednesday night, we're going to pick up our study again on what it means to, when the scripture didn't really say it this way, but the question was, do we need men to teach us? And, you know, if the Lord said he would teach us. So that's what we're studying right now. Come out and be with us. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. And just thank you again as a church and to the council and Chris for this beautiful laptop. Don't nobody walk off of my laptop there now. You can take the red one if you want. It's shot and dead. No. Chris is going to try and cannibalize it for his own purposes. But the one in the box, don't touch, okay? But thank you all again so much for that. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. Chris, would you come dismiss us in prayer this morning? God bless you. We'll see you on Wednesday night. Have a great day, everybody.